Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, April 13th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we gear up for another week of Yankee baseball. Now, we're going to get into everything which is mostly negative as we kick things off this week. There's some, you know, sprinkles of positivity that we'll definitely hit on here and there. But with that in mind, trust me, we'll get a little negative today, which if you're new around here, that is not typically how we roll. But I also bring that up because if you're looking for doom and gloom, season's over, this team sucks, all that, that's not what this is about. That's not what I do. That's not how I see things. And mostly it's because I think I see it, for the most part, logistically, which is the Yankees just aren't playing right now. And more often than not, when you see that they're 0-6 in one-run games, a lot of times people will take a stat like that, and rightfully so at times. Somebody's screaming outside, bloody murder, damn. I guess a kid outside would like to be wearing shorts today. And I don't blame him. It is supposed to be touching 80 degrees. Anyways, the Yankees are 0-6 in one-run games. And in the case of the way we've been losing, which is all based off our offense, that actually is encouraging to me. Because ultimately, if Judge had just been hitting, we win at least half of those one-run games. If Bellinger had been doing anything offensively over the last week, we win half of those games. Just using that as an example, or there's a major lack of power, even for a guy like Giancarlo Stanton, who is hitting 300 as we enter this, fourth week of the season, essentially, so far. We're going on week four, and Stanton only has one home run. I'm not calling him out by any means. I'm not giving him any crap whatsoever. We're going to be giving some guys some crap today, because, well, yes, the bottom third of the order probably is a legitimate problem that has to be addressed. And some may be hearing that and thinking, damn, how could you put the word probably next to that? Well, I still have some hope that Austin Wells might be able to hit. McMahon, maybe not. Caballero, I jumped the gun on the possibility of him being some legitimate competition for Anthony Volpe in his return. We'll talk about that later on as well. But this is not going to be about the bottom third of the order. For the most part, that is set in stone. That's a problem, barring Austin Wells finally breaking out. We'll see if that ever happens. But it goes way beyond that, because the reason why we're losing games right now is the mainstays, everyday guys at the top of the order. And that's going to get us into our, well, you know, before we get to that, let's do a quick little standings update really quick. So, of course, Yanks have lost five in a row, which after an 8-2 start brings them to 8-7. They're now tied for third place in the American League East with the Rays, the Orioles, and then you have the Blue Jays and Red Sox, both are 6-9. They trail the Rays, Yanks, and O's by two games. That's, for the most part, kind of whatever, but, you know, being 8-2 and then dropping down to 8-7 is obviously not ideal. Not in the world, but frustrating. Let's get into the guys who really need to start hitting, because, yes, I know what you're saying. Oh, everybody needs to start hitting. Well, that's not true. Ben Rice has been terrific. Giancarlo Stanton is still hitting the ball really hard, although he hasn't hit for much power. We're not going to focus too much on the bottom of the order today. We know what the situation is with Ryan McMahon. He's not hitting. I'm not sure he'll ever hit as a Yankee at this point. I can't say he will. Jose Caballero, much better suited as a 10th man on the bench guy that comes off with speed and can provide value that way. But as an everyday starting shortstop, he just doesn't have it. That's what we've seen so far. Let's start with Aaron Judge. Now, obviously, we know Judge is going to be fine. But that doesn't mean, in the meantime, it's not costing us games. It is. Again, 0-6 in one-run games. If Judge is just somewhat locked in, we win at least one or two more of those games. And so far, he's in 15 games played, hitting .218, OBP just of .328. More often than not, when we see Judge struggle, it will be, all right, he's hitting for a low average, just, you know, not squaring the ball up just yet, just a tick off. But he will still typically be getting on base. Not the case so far in this slump. I mean, a .328 OBP isn't terrible, but it's by no means Judge-like, even when he's in a slump. Did hit his fourth homer of the year last night. Hopefully that'll get him going. But, yeah, I mean, he just has not been close to the guy that we're used to, which is fine long term. You know he's going to be judged. But in the meantime, if we're looking for a reason why the Yankees are losing games, and we're not just going to label it as, oh, this team sucks, this offense is terrible, like, if that's how you feel, like, be my guest, yo. Like, you're well within your rights. But there's no conversation to be had there. And ultimately, if you think, oh, this team sucks, this offense sucks because of the last week, well, if that is set in stone, ultimately what that tells me is you believe it's set in stone that Judge is going to be this bad the rest of the way. We know, if you're watching this show, that's not the case. But in the meantime, it is costing us games. how poorly he is hitting. Again, the homer yesterday, hopefully that will get him going. But of course, it goes way beyond Judge. Again, we're focusing really on the mainstay players here, guys that if they were to be this bad the rest of the way, okay, then we are in trouble. Like, if Cody Bellinger is going to be just barely above league average, you know, we can kind of start dipping our toes into WRC+, but I know it's still a little bit early. But ultimately, I mean, he's getting on base at a 338 clip. That's decent. I mean, that's really right where he was last year. Wasn't a great OBP season for him in 2025. But the power has not been there whatsoever. He only has one home run. He's slugging 352. Bellinger's hitting 241. Six RBIs. I mean, the first couple weeks, and we said this on the show, he was looking like the same guy we saw last year, which was good at bats, just an overall good ball player. And while it's not like, you know, nausea-inducing watching him play, he just hasn't been productive. If Cody Bellinger is going to be a guy with an OPS below 700, which maybe there's some real big-time doom and gloomers out there that would say, well, that's possible. You know, prior to his season last year, he was very much, not hit or miss, but it was an up-and-down career ever since winning the MVP. You know, he had the down years with the Dodgers, really down years with the Dodgers, but a lot of that was attributed to the shoulder injury that he endured. And then he goes to Chicago, hits pretty damn well there, comes over to us last year and was terrific, gets his five-year deal. Well, I have no belief that this is who Bellinger is going to be this year throughout this contract. But of course, if that were to be the case, just like if Judge were to be this bad, okay, then yes, we are in trouble. I don't believe that they will be, though. I think Judge will be better than this. I think Bellinger will be better than this. But in the meantime, they're not, and that is costing us games. Again, if we just got some production out of Judge over the last week during this five-game losing streak, if we got some production over Bellinger over this last week, and that doesn't just mean an RBI single here and there. That means, to be honest, guys, like, we need some homers. We need some homers. And listen, there's more hits to be had. I understand, like, if homers are going to be coming during this stretch where nobody's hitting, yeah, more often than not, they're probably going to be solo shots. I understand that. So this is not a perfect recipe to get us back on track. But ultimately, it is when we're 0-6 in one-run games and nobody's hitting for power. Nobody's hitting the long ball, including Aaron Judge, which yesterday, I mean, he had that homer. But prior to that, during this five-game losing streak, he hasn't gone deep. Nobody's really gone deep. Bellinger being one of them. And it's not a thing where, oh, you have to hit the home run, but when you're not scoring any other way, you know, going deep every now and then would be nice. It doesn't even feel like we're doing that. Now, across the league, homers are down, and I, guys, if they deflated the ball again, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because, and I don't know if they did. I don't know if they've deflated the ball. I don't want to get into that conversation because, you know, that's more of like a general thing across baseball. But how could I not assume it's a possibility when every single year the ball appears to be different? Also, though, we are in cold weather. That was one of the things I was really disappointed with the Tropicana Field Series was, well, I don't want to hear Yankees talk about the weather impacting their play. You know, anybody with a brain can acknowledge that, yeah, offense goes up as the temperature goes up. Well, the Yankees were playing in a nice warm 72 degrees all weekend at the Trop, and their offense looked just as bad as it has over the past 2 weeks. Anyways, Bellinger has to get going. Trent Grisham has to get going as well. Now, we've been teetering the line with Grisham, particularly through the first 2 weeks, and you guys know I was a supporter of this, of bringing him back, because Jason Dominguez defensively is not ready, which is a really, really big shame, by the way, because if he was, then we'd really be able to easily have the conversation we're going to have next topic about possibly bringing him up. We will still have that conversation. But anyways, Grisham has hit for no power. He was getting on base, and he's still, I mean, a 133 average, you know, the ratio to a 328 OBP, like, that's really good. He's walking a lot. He has not hit for any power. And a big thing with Grisham is he's not elevating the ball. He's not putting it in the air, pulling it either. He's not pulling the ball into the air, which is one of the big difference makers between his production this year and his production last year. But we'll touch more on him in just a moment. But the overarching point is, Judge isn't hitting, Bellinger isn't hitting. If you believe those two guys are going to be at the clip they've been at so far this season, then all right, I'll give it to you. This offense is bad. This team is bad. They're not going anywhere. But I don't believe that's the case. I think, actually, in Judge's case, I know he'll be better. Bellinger, for the most part, I know he's going to be better, or at least better than this. Grisham, I believe, is going to be better than this. Now, you may not think so. And I'll give you that. It's not guaranteed whatsoever that Grisham's going to be a 34-homer bat. Now, his eye has always been great. And let's pull up real quick the metrics on here, which I'm not celebrating metrics. I will never celebrate metrics. They just give us a little bit of an insight onto what's to come. It doesn't mean you should feel differently about a player's performance so far. It just means it may not always stay this way. In the case of Trent Grisham, I just pulled this up right before we went live. I mean, he's ranking in the 99th percentile in hard hit rate. His expected weighted on base average is at 390. Again, nothing to celebrate whatsoever. You could talk about Grisham. Well, I was going to say you could talk about Grisham the same way you could talk about Ryan McMahon. We won't go that far. But ultimately, Grisham has been bad. That is what is the case here. Grisham has been bad. But what this should hopefully tell us is it's not going to stay this way. You figure he's going to keep getting on base, going to keep walking. That's always been great. Even when he was legitimately not a good offensive player, he's always had a good eye. And that remains the case. He's hitting the ball hard. He has to start hitting the ball hard in the air. But ultimately what has to happen here is we need results. We need results from everybody. And if we just got a little bit of those results, whether it is some offensive production from Grisham, Judge finally officially waking up, which is bound to happen any day now. Like, I'm not going to wake up when Judge is struggling and not assume that day, today, Monday, April 13th, he's going to get going. If he does, yes, that does fix half our problems because how good our pitching staff is. And that remains the case, by the way. The pitching has been exceptional, even throughout the Rays series. I mean, Cam wasn't great yesterday. It was still 5 innings, 3 runs. The Yankees ended up losing yesterday's game by 1 run. So again, if Bellinger was hitting, if Grisham was hitting, if Judge was hitting, that makes a massive difference over this past week. And unless you think they're never going to hit, and we can really just leave it at Judge and Bellinger if you want, because I think those are two guys that even the most pessimistic doom and gloomers can acknowledge, they're not going to be this bad. Judge hitting 218 with just 4 homers. Bellinger hitting 241 with just 1 homer. If they're going to be that bad the rest of the way, we are beat. If that's how you feel, like, fair. Stick to your guns. Stick to your guns. Like, if that's your take, that Judge and Bellinger are this bad, then okay. You are within your right to say, this team is ass, they're not going anywhere. I obviously don't feel that way, so I know it'll turn around. But in the meantime, it is costing us games. Now, some other things to acknowledge that are, well, we're going to talk about Jazz in just a little bit. We're really going to be talking about Jazz. But just to talk about his performance, which when we get to topic three, it's not really so much about performance at all. But, you know, he's been terrible. He's at a 501 OPS. And just to go through the Yankees lineup overall, just by OPS, Grisham's at a 528. Judge is at a 783, very unjudge-like. Bellinger's at a 690. Ben Rice, we know, has been absolutely terrific. Absolutely terrific. A 1.256 OPS. Rice is hitting 356 with 4 homers and 12 ribs. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. He has been absolutely fantastic. Giancarlo Stanton, he's not involved in this conversation at all in a negative light, like going at him or, you know, kind of calling him out like we are Judge, Bellinger, Grisham. Stanton's OPS is down to a 764. Now, he's hitting 300, and he's getting on base at a 364 clip. Stanton's been really good. And he's also had some tough luck. Like, it seems like majority of Stanton's out, he's hitting the ball on the screws. But just to, you know, be consistent with this conversation, he only has 1 home run. If we just had a slight uptick in power from Giancarlo Stanton, that could make a massive difference in how this offense is performing. I mean, this goes 1 through 9. A lot of guys are struggling, but just to bring it home to one singular point, we are missing the long ball. Home runs from Stanton would go a long way. Home runs from everybody would go a long way. But just to, again, kind of be consistent here with what I'm saying, Stanton's been great. He is not at the forefront of this conversation. He doesn't make, if today's thumbnail was solely based off this topic, like these certain guys need to start hitting, Giancarlo Stanton is not in it. But I'm just letting you know, I mean, he's hitting 300, OBP is good, hitting the ball really hard, not worried about him whatsoever, obviously. But we could use some power from Giancarlo Stanton. Jazz, 501 OPS, hitting 179. He has been absolutely brutal at the plate. He had a double yesterday. Whatever. Austin Wells. Here's where we can do a little on the bottom third of the order. And the reason why I don't really want to do bottom third of the order is because there's not much to be said there. Because the bottom third of the order, while Judge being this bad the rest of the way and Bellinger, all the things we talk about, that's not set in stone at all. But it really is more so set in stone that they're going to be good. They're going to bounce back. We have no idea if Austin Wells is going to bounce back. If his 523 OPS, I mean, you figure it'll go up from there. But will he? I don't want to keep saying it. Like, is the year 3 breakout finally coming for Austin Wells? He's more frustrating than anybody. Because again, Caballero was a symptom for me of opening day. I lean optimistic. And there's times where this will happen. But I will also say 2 to 3 weeks in, I was wrong. with Caballero, thinking that he might be able to provide a little bit more offensively. And I don't think he's as bad as a 384 OPS. I don't think Ryan McMahon's as bad as a 376 OPS. But ultimately, if I'm saying an upgrade to or an improvement to eventually get into the 600s, that's not really doing us much justice either. I think Jose Caballero, it is pretty much known by now, and I'd like to admit I'm wrong if this changes. And he had a really great game the other day and tried his best to lead the Yankees to a win on whatever that was, Saturday night. He's not the answer at shortstop. He's meant to be a bench player. Volpe will talk about, but I've mentioned this. It's the point with Caballero where I am looking forward to the return of Anthony Volpe. No, I'm not going to get hyped up to the point where could he finally be like a above league average offensive shortstop? No, but if he can play good defense to where it's not an issue, well, ultimately what Volpe has been, which has been disappointing, compared to Caballero though, it's a massive upgrade, as sad as that is. McMahon, listen, you got to just play Rosario. Now, McMahon will be playing every time Fried is on the bump because we know about the defense at third base. Fried induces a lot of ground balls to the left side. That makes sense. McMahon will still get run, but more often than not, you got to be playing Ahmed Rosario. You just have to. And this is a conversation we got to get into about just playing the hot hand. And I have a new lineup, or like a slight lineup alteration I want to mention to you guys in just a moment. But Rosario has to be playing more often than not. And on the topic of the hot hand, Randall Grichuk, it's weird because just a few days ago, I really wanted to make sure we're being fair to him and I'm being fair to him because I watch his 0-for-3s, 3 strikeouts. Dan Rourke Sr. texts me now too about, like, who's this guy that got him left? Like, he's fucking ass, blah, blah, blah. Which, he's right. He's been ass. Randall Grichuk has been terrible. He's 0-for-12, has not done anything. To be fair, he got robbed of a hit yesterday at the Trop, but who cares? Whatever. He has looked terrible. Now, to make sure I am consistent with how I want my brain to operate, he didn't get a spring training. 12 at-bats is not a lot of at-bats. It's really not. So with that in mind, the other day I was saying, you just got to give him run. Well, that was also when the Yankees were still like 8-3, 8-4. Now they're just a game above 500. I'm sorry. Like, you can't be playing Randall Grichuk. And tonight, they're facing Yusei Kikuchi, which we'll see how that goes. Kikuchi has, especially as of late over the last few years, really done well against the Yankees. Has borderline owned them, it feels like. Technically, I mean, he's a lefty. Grichuk, I guess, would be in that lineup. I don't want to see Grichuk tonight. I really, really don't. So on the topic of the hot hand, you got to play Rosario more often than McMahon, which I think we will see. And by the way, on Rosario, small sample size, but he was brought in here to hit lefties, and he will hit lefties. He was really good at that role throughout his entire career, but last year when we picked him up, that's what he did. He did his role, which was hitting against lefties. Well, this year, he's actually against right-handers hitting .375, Rosario is. Against lefty, just .125. That will come up. That's all well and good. That's fine. But more so the point is, he's been hitting well against right-handed pitching. And we know about McMahon. Rosario has to be playing, honestly, if you're up to me, except when Fried's starting, because that I totally understand. You want his defense at third base when Fried's going. Rosario should be playing third base. Rosario, as far as I'm concerned, is for the, more often than not, our starting third baseman. JC Ascara, I mean, he's been terrible. I'd like to see Wells in there as much as possible. Like yesterday, honestly, I would have liked to have seen Wells get the start over Ascara, but we'll see what the deal is come Volpe's return, which is probably like 2 weeks away. Is that when the Yankees send Ascara down and have Rice as their backup catcher? Which we'll get to that when that time comes. But in the meantime, I want to see some lineups every now and then where we have Rice is catching. Because against a lefty, I'm sorry, I cannot deal with Grichuk in the lineup and Goldschmidt not in the lineup. Goldschmidt's got to play more, but it's tough. How exactly do you do that without taking Rice out of the lineup? Unless you were to, you know, center around a day where Stanton gets the night off. But, like, Stanton had yesterday off. He's going to be playing today. We're facing a lefty. You want Rice's bat in the lineup, obviously. That's not even a conversation. Rice has to be in the lineup tonight. He will be. Stanton will be in the lineup. Well, if DH is taken up, if first base is taken up, how are you getting Goldschmidt in there? Well, obviously, you catch Ben Rice. I don't think that'll happen tonight, but at some point I would like to see it because you feel good about Goldschmidt in the box, at least right now. Obviously, even against righties, like the idea of a professional at bat compared to whether it be Ascara or, you know, it's tough because Goldschmidt can't play the outfield. Rice can't play the outfield. Now, by the way, this doesn't solve this issue, but Boone has mentioned that we might be seeing Rosario play the outfield soon. I'm not against that. Like, I would rather, all right, instead of Grichuk playing the outfield, I'm not sure I want Rosario in left, but like if you got to do it, I'd rather Rosario in left against the lefty. And then I'll take McMahon over Grichuk in that case, because then at least, you know, McMahon does provide, he shores up the defense so much, and that is important in the infield. So I would rather, okay, if we're down to play Rizar in the outfield, I'll take him over Grichuk against the lefty. Then, yeah, just give me McMahon a third for the defense. Anyways, here's a lineup that I would roll out. And we won't be seeing this tonight because we're facing the lefty. But, like, our everyday, more often than not, standard lineup against a righty. I would, first things first, put Rice in the three hole. Rice should be protecting Judge. Bellinger did a great job at it last year. He has not been hitting so far this year. Doesn't mean he won't always hit, and doesn't mean this can't be changed again in the future. But in the meantime, tonight, well, not tonight, because again, you see Kikuchi, we'll see a left-handed lineup, and we'll see what we get. But I would do this lineup. Grisham, Judge, Rice, Stanton, Bellinger, Rosario, Jazz, Caballero, Wells. That would be my standard 1-9. Not going to solve these issues, because just because you move a guy here, move a guy there, doesn't mean tonight's going to be the night that Judge starts hitting. Once he does start hitting, half our issues are fixed. Same with Bellinger. Same with, we get a little bit of power from Giancarlo Stanton. Jazz, offensively, at some point, he'll go on one of those streaks and we'll be like, all right, work, cool. And a preface before we get into topic three with Jazz, I think he's going to hit. This has nothing to do with performance related. We have to have some conversations about Jazz. I think I finally have come to a full-on just where I'm at with him, and it's frustrating, but offensively with him, you figure at some point he'll get a little bit of a hot streak going, and that may help. But the main thing here, we need Judge to get hot. We need Bellinger to get hot. We need some more power all throughout the lineup, Stanton included. It would be nice if Wells could finally do something offensively. I know he hit the home run today. That got me hyped, but other than that, didn't really do much. The main thing is this issue gets solved in the short term if Judge gets hot, if Bellinger gets hot. The mainstay guys, Grisham as well, they got to start hitting. And if they don't, all right, yeah, we're screwed. And if you believe they'll never be hitting, if you think Judge is forever cold, Bellinger's forever cold, like some of these guys are just truly bad, then all right, fair. This team isn't going to be good. I do not think that, obviously. So knowing that's how I feel, I can't imagine this is how the offense is going to look the rest of the year or even through tonight. At any moment, Judge can get hot. At any moment, Bellinger can get hot. And because we've been losing these games by one run, that's all we need. We're right there. The pitching has been terrific. It has been amazing. But it doesn't matter how good your pitching is if, you know, all these guys aren't going to hit or are going to be meatballs in the lineup. Yeah, we're screwed. And we have been screwed over the last week. 5-game losing streak. We're down to 8-7. Those guys got to turn it around. And I believe they will. I believe they will. Until they do, we're going to be in the same situation, complaining about the offense because they're guys that are supposed to be producing, and so far they have not. Let's talk a little Jason Dominguez. He's raking. 13 games in AAA, hitting .354 with a .475 on base, slugging .521. 2 homers, 8 ribs, .996 OPS. Could he be called up? I don't really know how. Now, you could just get rid of Grichuk and have Jason be a player off the bench, which would make us better right now, no doubt. One, it would give you a legitimate lefty bat off the bench to be able to use in situations where you need it. Instead of like having to go to a Scar when you want to go with a lefty, you can go to Jason. Okay, that'd be a significant boost. Like if we had Jason available against Anthony Bender and the Marlins last weekend, well, that's a much more desirable option than pinch hitting J.C. Ascaro. So that's one thing. Two, the Yankees bench right now, well, besides Grichuk, I'm fine with it. I mean, ultimately, Ascaro is just your backup catcher, so that's kind of just like a default position, whatever. Would prefer if he was a righty, but I can get over Ascaro. Rosario and Goldschmidt, really like them off the bench. We're lacking speed, though. So if you brought Jason up, one, gives you a lefty bat off the bench and also speed. But the Yankees want him to be playing every single day. How is he getting everyday playing time right now, given the current situation we have, which is everybody's healthy? You're not starting Jason over Bellinger. Obviously not starting him over Judge. You're not starting him over Stanton at DH. And you're not starting him over Grisham in center field. You're just not. If Jason was an even competent defender, I would say maybe we could like try to have that conversation. And trust me, I would. It wouldn't be a call Jason up right now, Grisham is done type thing, but it's Grisham, like, you better get going. We need you to start hitting and giving us results, not just a high expected weighted on base average. We need you to start hitting, and if you don't, well, we will call Jason up. Well, Jason can't catch the ball, and it is ridiculous, because if he could just do that, if he could fill this position competently, you know what his bat's going to be. And we knew that last year. Against righties, he had a 118 WRC+. So the bat, we know, is ready. I mean, he is raking in AAA. Raking. And he seemingly is improving against left-handed pitching as well when batting from the right side. So that's not the question with JJ. It's just how would he play? The only way he would play is, well, if he was on the roster as a bench bat, some pinch hitting opportunities, he would be able to start on the days where Stanton sits. And then maybe, you know, a spot start here and there on top of that. But then we're, what, talking 3 games a week where Jason plays? I'm down for that. I just don't think the Yankees are down. So I don't think we're there just yet. And ultimately, I believe it's going to take some sort of an injury or this to, like, really continue throughout, you know, the probably the next 2 weeks if this offense is still struggling, which I just cannot imagine is the case. Maybe it would force their hand to be like, all right, we just got to get Jason up here and hope he, you know, can survive in the outfield. Otherwise, I can give you this possibility. I mean, if the Yankees were down to do this, which I doubt they would be, you could play Stanton in right every now and then you give Judge an occasional start in center field, and then you could DH Jason. Yeah, I know. That's not going to happen. I know. But I'm just throwing things out that could possibly work to get Jason playing time. Other than that, it's, yeah, he starts 1 or 2 times a week if, you know, when Stanton does sit, or the occasional Grisham gets a day off. And then, yeah, you just got to deal with his defense in the outfield. That's ultimately the main question, though, I think here is. There's two questions. One, can Jason catch the ball? And two, are the Yankees willing to bring him up when there's not a clear-cut, everyday opportunity available? Because, again, he's not starting over Judge, obviously. He's not starting over Bellinger. He's not starting over Stanton. And right now, he's not going to be starting over Grisham. If he could catch the ball, maybe we could have that conversation, but he can't. With that said, though, you can call him up, DFA Grichuk. And then, at the very least, your team is better because you have a true lefty bat off the bench, and you get speed off the bench, which we don't have speed on the bench right now. So, I'm there. I want him up. I understand why he's not, because what's the lane for him to play? How exactly does it make sense for Jason to be up here? Other than just, all right, yeah, give yourself the best team possible, but ultimately, our concern right now is the offense. You call up Jason right now, like, he wouldn't be playing tonight. Your team would be better. You'd have a better bench. And yeah, we'd see him 1 or 2 times a week, maybe, in the starting lineup, but for right now, like, he wouldn't be an everyday guy. So that's not exactly the solution either. The solution is, in the immediate future, Judge to start hitting, Bellinger to start hitting, the mainstay guys, Grisham, some power from Stanton. We need those guys to get going. Until one of them gets hurt, Jason in all likelihood is going to be staying down in AAA. So we just need those guys to start hitting. That ultimately is what is going to solve this issue. And I think it's an issue that will be solved. I really, really do. I'm 100% confident that it will. Because the only way I wouldn't be is if I thought Judge is just going to be this bad. Does anybody think that? Does anybody think Bellinger's going to be this bad? Does anybody think Stan's only going to homer at a 14 homer pace over 150 games the entire year? No, like, we're not stupid. But in the meantime, it definitely is fraught. And you got to ask questions like this. Like, what could we do to make this different? Well, could they call up Jason Dominguez? They could. I just don't know how it would work right now. Let's talk Jazz, though. Let's talk Jazz, because listen, this does not have much to do exactly with the play itself. Like, this ultimately, like, is a tough play. I mean, he could have tagged and thrown over first had he made it cleanly. Jazz wanted to make that play. That's not what this is about. It's not performance related. It's attitude related. And I found myself tweaking the other night when I heard this postgame interview, which has made the rounds by now. We're going to play it in just a second. But I just have a serious issue with everything we've been seeing with Jazz. Now, I think he has all the talent in the world. You guys know that, which is what makes this even more frustrating because, you know, when you see Jazz not having time to think more often than not, you see, like, he displays his talent, like, how great he can be. But this is going to be about his attitude. And let's play the soundbite, but it's about Jazz not knowing how the game of baseball works. That's inexcusable. And this has nothing to do with Boone. No manager should have to explain this level of the rules of baseball to anybody on their team. So if you want to talk about Boone ball, you want to talk about the Yankees not being prepared, all the cliches we've heard since 2018, whatever, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that this falls under that blanket. It doesn't. Jazz has to know what these... I mean, take a listen. Let's play it, and then I'll give my thoughts because there's so much I got to say on this. But here's Jazz the other night after making that play, just not knowing the rules. You'll hear Trent Grisham interject to try to save face a little bit. It's bad.
Even if you don't bobble that, do you feel like you have a shot at a double play there?
Yeah, I was really going to go try to tag the runner and just throw it to first. I don't know what the rule is if I went to first base first and threw it back to second if it's still an out. Is it still a double play? I don't know. Does it count as not an RBI?
No, they'll score.
They'll still score?
They'll get there before the tying period at second.
Well... where it was what I was trying to do in my mind probably wouldn't have worked anyway.
I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. I'm going to try to get through this topic without prefacing how much I love Jazz, loved Jazz, was all about him coming over to the Yankees. And it got off to a great start. I loved the way he handled himself when he first got here. Last year, for the most part, I liked the way he handled himself. Until the very end, you guys know I was tweaking. Not because he was upset that he didn't play against Boston in the wildcard game. That's totally fair. He was right. He turned his back in the media, though, and was a complete diva, and Judge had to answer about it. It became a whole thing. Pathetic. Can't happen. Try to get over that. The way he handled himself in that post-game interview is beyond absurd. Beyond absurd. Now, the rules conversation, there's nothing even to say about that, because that's terrible. Like, that's embarrassing. Boone was embarrassed by it. And I think what Boone said in response was actually a pretty good response, saying, I think Jazz knows the rules. It's just about the way you present yourself sometimes. And that's what this is about for me. Where do I want to start? The earring. Terrible. Terrible. I don't know if it's like a nervous crutch because he knows he messed up and that's his way of like, you know, keeping himself. I get that. When I'm nervous, I whistle. That's often what I do. I get it. So I'm not going to get on that. But that was the cherry on top to a really, really bad look, which I usually hate the term bad look because like, bad, is it bad? Is it good? Like, if it just looks bad, who cares? But that looked bad. That looked bad. And if we didn't lose, if it was the play was made, Jazz is playing well, Yankees are playing well, I can get over it. But here's the thing. I was saying this yesterday at the warehouse, I think to Jake, but I was like, it's very similar with Jazz and like the way Glaber was talked about. Like Glaber would make mental mistakes. Glaber would do this. Glaber would frustrate it because it's kind of a similar situation. Like so much talent, but he's sometimes a fool. Sometimes just does stupid things. But Chad, I bet you would agree with me here with this. While sure, they make the same amount of annoying mental mistakes. When Glaber made a mental mistake, when Glaber effed up, he would be in borderline tears in the postgame. He would apologize for it. He would say, won't happen again. You could see it was eating away at him, that he disappointed his team, disappointed the fan base. Like, Glaber wanted to always do the right thing. Jazz, in that interview, comes off like he doesn't care. He comes off like he's, like, too good for this. Like, he's better than this. And that's the way he's talking, man. Like, forget not knowing the rules. Like, this stuck out to me a little bit, too. And I guess it doesn't really matter. It's a pet peeve, like I mentioned. Like, he calls the run scoring, like, asks if it's still an RBI, which at first is like, do you care about him just not getting the RBI? But I assume he just is calling an RBI a run, like, just talking about the run scored. So clearly, Jazz really doesn't know baseball. But I guess I can get over that a little bit. Not even. I can't even really get over that. I mean, that's, I'm sorry. Like, I don't like to use this word, but like that's where it is pathetic, yo. Like, I will always say this. I'm not going to criticize performance for the most part because who am I to criticize Jazz Chisholm Jr.'s swing? Like, I don't think Dan Rourke should be giving hitting advice to Jazz Chisholm Jr. or anybody. But I can criticize effort and the way you handle yourself because, like, that is something that we can do. That is something that we know how you should handle yourself, and that is not it, what Jazz was doing right there. Whether it be the earring, acting like he's too good for this, and like all these, whether it be like the antics and just the way he carries himself, the way he handles himself. You're not there yet, Jazz. You're not there yet. If you did put up a 50-50 season, all right, maybe. But you had one good full season, a 30-30 year. It was a really good season last year. It wasn't an MVP season. It's not going to put you in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, it sure as hell isn't going to earn you $300 million in free agency. I don't know who's giving you even $100 million in free agency because it certainly isn't us. And that's really where I'm not done with Jazz this year. I'm not done with Jazz in terms of giving up on who we can be offensively and, you know, helping us win some games. But if it was out in the air, out in the open still for me entering this weekend of, am I down to engage Jazz in long-term free agent contracts when that time comes? If that was still a question for me after this weekend, it no longer is. I am done with Jazz after this year. He's not my kind of Yankee. He's just not. The way he handles himself is unacceptable, and it's embarrassing. You know, it really, really is. Like, that is not what we do. And it's a shame because I think Jazz really got off to such a great start here. I wanted to love Jazz so much, and I did for a while, and I still do. It's like, you know, like people that you love can piss you off. Like, now it's like a multiple repeat offender type deal where he's just, I don't know how this continues to happen, man. Like, somebody's got to talk to him because while I'm not giving him money and I don't think the Yankees are in free agency, he is still on the team for the next 5 months. Like, he is our second baseman. you know, I can think about the possibility of the Yankees going out and getting a third baseman maybe and just making that happen because you have to. I don't see that at second base. Like, I think Jazz will be the guy at that position. So I understand that, but I'm not signing to a long-term deal. I want nothing to do with that. And it's all because of his attitude. I don't really even think on the field as much is the issue with, like, the mental mistakes are frustrating, but I feel like that can be improved. The way Jazz, he thinks he's somebody he's not. Your talent could take you to that level, but for right now, you've hardly done shit, bro. And in the postseason, you barely hit either. And all of a sudden, it's like you have a 30-30 season. That's great. And it was. And then, you know, now it's the OnlyFans girlfriend. Okay, whatever. To each their own. Talking like this. Adjusting the earring while in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. Not knowing the rules. Not caring that you don't know the rules. Not really giving a F. I want nothing to do with him going forward. I'm going to root for him. And I think eventually he will start helping us win some games. But again, just to bring this all home, if there was a question of, am I down to bring Jazz back in free agency? That was still even a question going on this weekend for me. Which at one point, I was down for the extension. I was down for a lot. I want nothing to do with what we just saw this weekend. Again, Glaber made just as many mental mistakes and like things that would just drive you crazy. But Glaber, when asked about it in the postgame, would be like, his eyes would be watering almost, it felt like. Like Glaber would be in borderline tears. Doesn't mean it's not equally as frustrating, but it is way more frustrating when there's no... I hate when people say, like, oh, we need accountability. Well, accountability doesn't make guys start to hit. But I at least need you to act like it slightly bothers you that you weren't able to make the play, which is not what this is about, by the way. I wasn't even on Jazz's ass at all for that play. Like, this is because of the postgame interview. It was bad. Really bad. And I'm over it, bro. I'm over it with Jazz. That's not how I like any Yankee to talk, any Yankee to operate. That's not a Yankee. Jazz is not a Yankee, is the way I see it. So, just going to leave it there. I don't know who's going to give him money in free agency. He's got hella talent, and he should still be able to, you know, help us win games. And I imagine at some point he'll get into a nice streak offensively. And he may still put up really good numbers at year's end. Again, this has nothing to do with his performance. It's just who Jazz is. I think some other people that, quote-unquote, warned me ahead of time, like Chris Rose, I think he was right. I think Jazz is a handful, and I don't want the handful that is Jazz Chisholm Jr. I'm done after this year is where I stand right now. And it's one of those things where I would not say this out in the open if I wasn't definitively sure on it. I want nothing to do with him in free agency. Doesn't mean, like, you know, he's a bad guy. He's just not a good Yankee. Doesn't mean he won't perform as a Yankee. Doesn't mean he hasn't performed a Yankee. He has. But he's just not my type of Yankee. He's not for me. Not for me. Anyways, let's move on to this. Volpe could begin a rehab assignment at AA as soon as Tuesday. He's going to take some more live at-bats, get another check-in with the doctors, and then if all is cleared, he will begin a rehab assignment with the AA Patriots. He was asked about a clean slate, is what he referred to it as, and he says, probably the most excited I've ever been, just having the perspective of missing time. It doesn't matter. I'll play anywhere. I'll do anything. So, yeah, Volpe is set to see Christopher Ahmad on Monday if he's all cleared. Rehab begins on Tuesday, and he'll probably need about 55 at-bats per Brian Cashman to return to the big league club. So we're probably looking at about 2 weeks away from the return of Volpe. And he was asked about some adjustments that he made and, you know, kind of a pre-opening day hype conversation, you know, classical, oh, McMahon changes stance, this guy did that, this guy's making this adjustment. Volpe in his swing, he says, just cleaning my bat path, just keeping on playing for a lot longer. We found some stuff where it kind of went wrong. I think the stuff we worked on is very objective, and I feel like I can make adjustments off of it, which I like the sound of that. We'll see, of course, if it comes to fruition, but bottom line is he's feeling great, he's healthy, and there are some adjustments he says are going to objectively make a difference. We'll leave it there and see if, you know, that actually happens or not, but Cashman was asked about it and about Volpe being the starting shortstop when he returns, and Cashman says that's always been the plan, but ultimately that'll be the manager's call. Volpe will take over as the starting shortstop, and with how bad Caballero's been offensively, I'm excited for it. I am. I'm excited for what he's going to do. I don't know what it's going to be, but at the very least, even if he's, you know, I think of like 2024 Anthony Volpe, which it's a shame this is what like the ceiling is. Not the ceiling, but like this, it's a shame that this is what I'm going to be referring to as like a a Volpe I would be down to get back, which is a guy that had still at above or below 700 OPS, just an 87 WRC plus. He hit 243, which is the career high average-wise for him. But 2024, he was an elite defender. He was truly an elite defender. If we can get that, and really just, I need a good shortstop. I need a shortstop who makes the plays, which at the very least, that's what Volpe was in 2024. With what Caballero has been offensively, which is so far an OPS below 400, even the Volpe that's been a massive disappointment at the big league level through 3 years, as long as he can play the position of shortstop well, which we've seen him do, we've seen him not do, but if he can play it well, who he's been offensively, even to this point in his career, is a massive upgrade over what we've gotten from Caballero. Now, is there a world where we could see the best version of Volpe this year? Maybe that's a 95 WRC plus. Maybe that's an OPS finally above 700. Well, that's a reason to get relatively excited if the defense is good, because then we're talking about an improvement. That would be an improvement. The lineup would be getting better. And honestly, I did find myself, and this is probably where the shield comes in a little bit, I did find myself just seeing shots of him in the dugout. I was kind of like, yo, word, what's up, Volpe? Like, good to see you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I was kind of excited to see him. And I'll always be a fan, like, of the Yankees, I'm saying. And for better or for worse, like, Volpe, like, he has been our shortstop the last 3 years. So maybe it's like a familiarity thing. Maybe it's a thing where I'm reading these quotes or I know how the human brain operates. Like, if I was Anthony Volpe right now, the way I would be feeling is, I'm sure there's been points where, say, after we got bounced last year, and that's 3 years into his career, and he's like, I cannot believe another year went like this. Like, just 3 years ago, I was making my debut, and I had it all. Like, I was a starting shortstop for the Yankees. I still am, but I was the shit, and now, you know, I'm borderline hated to a degree. I've been a massive disappointment. We haven't won. It's just not good. And then he finds himself now where he has another chance. He says he's the healthiest he's ever been. He had a replacement, essentially, who didn't do his job. Honestly, I'm not trying to even get on Caballero, because maybe he's just not an everyday big league shortstop, and we're seeing that. He might just be better as a bench player. So no knock on him per se. But it's like, all right, you wanted somebody else? We got somebody else, and it didn't work out. So if I'm Volpe right now, I would think mentally he's probably in one of the best spots he's been in since being a big leaguer. And if I were him, I'd be thinking, I'm getting another shot. I'm not going to mess this one up. And I think that's how any human would operate. And then, okay, yeah, some swing adjustments. The fact of this was once the number five prospect in baseball just a few years ago. And trust me, I'm not taking this to Volpe could be a legitimate threat offensively. We're not going to have that conversation right now. And heck, if it were to happen, we'll definitely talk about it then. But for now, I'm just talking about him being a winning player. And to me, that is a good defender at shortstop and a guy that can hit a little bit. And I'm talking a 95 WRC plus, which is right around these days, what, probably like a 710 OPS maybe, 720 OPS. Not right now in the current season, but like over a larger sample size. Like Bellinger's at a 690 OPS. That's a 105 WRC plus right now. Whatever, I don't want to get into WRC plus. If Volpe can be like a 700 OPS bat with good defense, I welcome his return and I look forward to it. I think that's just where I'm at. I think that's where I'm at with Volpe. I am just going to say it. I'm excited for his return. All right? That might be me showing a little bit, but I am excited for his return, and I'm curious what he could be. Maybe this is finally the year we get the best version of Volpe, which at one point we thought that might be an everyday shortstop who is a perennial 800 OPS guy. I'm not going to bank on that. But could we get an improvement? No matter what, we know we are over Caballero. But over the first 3 years of Volpe, could year four be the best one yet? Theoretically, it could. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm just shooting for a 700 OPS and good defense. And if we get that, that's a massive upgrade of what we got from Caballero. Simple as that is the way I see it. Anyways, Cashman was asked about it. He goes, talking about Volpe, looking to deploy him soon. We obviously want to get his legs under him. He's been getting a lot of live at-bats with the Traject, which is the machine. You can close the gap on stuff like that too, but obviously the in-game defensive stuff and building your foundation, getting his spring training behind him that way, typically you want a player to get 55 at-bats, right around 55 at-bats of spring training for an everyday position player, and then build him up safely with a defense from 3 to 5 to 7 innings, then obviously 9 innings. Then we'll find a time to slot him in. So 55 at-bats, let's just say, you know, rehab-wise, not that he would be getting 4 at-bats every single game, but if, you know, say he's playing, I mean, 55 at-bats, let's see, how many games would he need? If he was averaging, I mean, 4 at-bats, I guess, is a lot, because he right away may be on a shorter schedule, but 55 at-bats, if he were getting 4 at-bats per game, which is, you know, a rough estimate from whatever, 13.75, so that's like 2 weeks worth of games we're going to need from Volpe before he's back in the big league club. So it's looking like end of April, barring any setbacks, he will return. And yes, I look forward to his return. Alrighty, let's wrap things up here with a little preview for tonight's series. So the Yankees are beginning back in the Bronx. So we had the little 3-game set at the Trop, and then now we have 4 with the Angels starting tonight in the Bronx. We get right back to it. Again, we're in the midst of a 13-game stretch that will carry through this coming weekend against Kansas City. The Royals are in town. So tonight will be 7:05 first pitch on, yes, Will Warren on the bump for the Yankees. And as we mentioned, for the Angels, Yusei Kikuchi, who, I mean, this year in 3 starts, he got a 6.75 ERA, so struggling so far. But he has notoriously pitched very well against the Yankees. Now, he's had some bad outings in there, but more often than not lately, he just seemingly, like, shoves against us. So last year, and one of the, not advantages of running it back, but from a talking perspective, you can look at a start he made last year and think like, all right, for the most part, it pretty much is the exact same team. So May 28th last year against the Yankees, Kikuchi went 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run. And he actually got the loss that game. Did we face him again last year? So that was our only start against him last year. He goes 5 innings, 1 run. 2024, I believe he pitched the home opener for Toronto against us. Yeah, in 2024, April 5th, he went 5 1/3 shutout. Faced us 2 weeks later, April 16th, went 6 innings, 1 run. Let's see, did we face him again that year? June 28th, he went 5 innings, 4 earned runs. So that was a start we hit him well. And that was it. So, like, we are capable of hitting Kikuchi, but more often than not, lately, he's gotten the better of us. He'll be going for the Angels tonight in Game 1. We'll see what the Yankees do. I mean, I would like to see Goldschmidt in there. I just don't know how they do it unless they catch Ben Rice, which I don't think will happen tonight because Wells got the day off yesterday. I imagine he's in the lineup tonight, and you can't not have Rice in there. So if Wells is catching, okay, Rice is playing first, or you DH him, but Stan's going to be playing. So I don't know if Goldschmidt gets in tonight. And if I had to guess, Randall Grichuk probably does, which is a shame. I imagine the leash on Grichuk can't be, you know, a thing for all that much longer. At the very least, it'll be here. He'll be here, I would think, until, you know, barring a Jason call-up or something along those lines, we probably see Grichuk still on the roster through Volpe's return. Oh, that's not a guarantee either, because they could just send down a score and then make Rice like the quote-unquote backup catcher. But yeah, Kikuchi versus Warren tonight. Game 2 tomorrow night. Again, this is a 4-game series. It'll be Ryan Weathers coming off a great start. 8 innings of 1-run ball against the A's. He got the loss, of course, last time. I hope he's getting the ball in Game 2 tomorrow night on Tuesday. Reed Detmers will be going for the Angels, and that's another lefty. So we'll see how the Yankees do this. I mean, you got to get Goldschmidt starting one of these 2 games. I would be shocked if one of the first 2 games against the Angels, Goldschmidt is not starting. And if I had to guess, it would be tomorrow. But even so, like, you can't take Rice's bat out of the lineup. So, like, Rice should catch one of these 2 games, honestly, is where I'm at. One of these first 2 games against the Angels. So, yeah, Kikuchi in Game 1 for the Angels, Detmers in Game 3 for the Angels. Game 3, Detmers in Game 2. Game 3 for the Angels is TBD. That's another 7 o'clock first pitch. Angels have not announced a starter for the Yankees. It will be Luis Gil making his second start. We didn't talk about him. He was not good in his first outing. We'll just give him another start and then, you know, probably talk about him more then. But it was just very Luis Gil-like. It was just like a, ugh, outing. He wasn't good. But yeah, 7 o'clock, no starter listed for the Angels on Wednesday. And then come Thursday, series finale will be an afternoon game. You have Max Fried on the bump for the Yanks, and Angels are just TBD. So the last 2 games of this 4-game set against the Angels, we don't know who's starting for LA or Anaheim, whatever you want to call them. First two games, though, both are lefties. Kikuchi tonight, Detmers tomorrow, Warren tonight for the Yankees, Weathers tomorrow. Or, yeah, Warren tonight for the Yankees, Weathers tomorrow for the Yanks. Yeah, we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do. Obviously, this all comes down to what we were talking about before, which is not so much the bottom third of the order, which that's a conversation, no doubt about it. And that is very much set in stone that it might just be bad, barring Austin Wells finally breaking out. That's a postseason conversation. That's a deadline conversation. Like, that is something that has to be addressed. But the ultimate issue is things that should not be a guarantee, which is Judge struggling, Bellinger struggling, Grisham struggling, Stanton not hitting for power. You can throw Jazz in there, too, if you want, because at some point you figure he'll get hot and produce a little bit. Those guys have to start hitting, particularly Judge and Bellinger. And if they do, the conversation of how are we getting goals from there, what's the lineup going to look like, Randall Grisham's been asked. Like, if those guys get going, given the way this season has played out, all I can think of, all I can operate under the assumption of is that the Yankees will start winning games if those guys get hitting. Because being 0-6 in one-run games, given what we know, which is Judge and Bellinger aren't hitting, I look at that as a good thing, unless you believe those guys will forever just be pumpkins and not hit. So if you believe Judge is bad, if you believe Bellinger is bad, all right, then I guess you're right. This team is ass. They're never going to win again, and you know we should all just die. But no, Judge will turn around. Judge will get hot. Bellinger will get hot, and they'll be productive baseball players. And because of that, I have no reason to believe that this Yankee team won't start to win games again because the pitching has been so great, and the pitching we know is only going to get even better. So that's where I'm at with this team right now. Very, very, very disappointing week. 5 straight losses, but listen, it's so early, and that's just what you have to say when guys who are normally good aren't good so far. Now, if it's July and Bellinger's OPS is below 700, if it's July and or even like June or May, 2 weeks, like, this is not going to be the conversation. On April 13th, I will point out that Cody Bellinger's OPS is below 700. Judge's OPS is below 800. Giancarlo Stanton is on a 14-homer pace. When it's April 13th, I will continue to mention that. Come June, we won't. But in the meantime, I can't, you know, pretend to think this team is screwed because they're losing one-run games. They've lost 5 in a row. No, it's annoying. I'm fucking pissed. Trust me, I am pissed. I'm pissed about a lot of things. I cannot pretend that I think this offense is just going to be this bad the rest of the way. To me, it's a guarantee they won't be. And to me, it's a guarantee they will start winning games again. And we got to start doing that tonight. Because if they don't win, they're going to be 500 again. So we'll leave it there. Frustrating week, but a new week begins. New week begins. And let's have it be a good one. 4-game set against the Angels starts tonight. We'll be live for every single one of those over on the main channel, Yankees Avenue. Subscribe to this channel if you are new. We'll be live again during the Angels series, by the way. So I believe we'll be live. I think I might, because it's a 4-game split, 4-game set. Go live on, what's today, Monday, and it goes through Thursday. I think we'll be live again on Wednesday morning to like kind of like recap and check in after the first 2 games of this Angels series. And then we'll be live again come Friday morning to recap the entire series, preview the Royals series. So, Morning Yank Show, subscribe to this channel. Click like on your way out if you have not already. It does help out a great deal. We'll have our full coverage like we always do. Watch party on the main channel. You guys kind of know the deal by now. We'll be everywhere. So, bottom line is, got to start winning again. Got to start hitting again. As long as we do that, you know, those things kind of go hand in hand with each other. So, new day today. Everybody have a fantastic start to your week, and I'll see you later for the watch party on the main channel. Until then, have a great day. Let's go, Yanks.